Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as Jesus went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
One of the things that I hate most is sitting next to a stranger on an airplane. Now, I don't mind talking to people, but most of the time after exchanging pleasantries, the other person will ask one particular question. What do you do? I hate that question, especially trapped at 36,000 feet where I can't get away. Often, after I tell them what I do, I have to either listen to their confession about why they don't go to church, even though I didn't ask, or I have to explain that I'm not one of those pastors. Americans seem to jump right to that question. What do you do? Yet what we do does not completely define us. It's simply one piece of our identity. Well, last week, the Gospel of Mark focused on Jesus's identity, and today's episode continues with that same theme. At the beginning of today's reading, we heard that John the Baptizer was imprisoned. And this isn't one of those kind of throwaway transitional phrases, but rather, it is an important revelation. You see, John the Baptizer preached in the wilderness, and the people went to him. Yet Jesus came to the people, where they were, in the midst of their day-to-day work. So instead of the people needing to go to the temple in Jerusalem to experience God's presence, rather than needing to go to the synagogue to see a religious leader, and in contrast to the prophet John himself, who waited until people came into the wilderness, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, this radically political and religiously subversive teacher, went to the people. And as we saw Jesus' identity unfolding in today's story, he began rounding up the disciples. Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Follow me and I will make you fish for people. However, I have to say that translation missed the nuance that is there in the Greek. A better translation, using the New English Translation version of the Bible, is "follow me and I will turn you into fishers." Follow me and I will turn you into fishers. Do you see the difference between those two? "I will make you fish" is task-oriented. "I will turn you into fishers" is identity-focused. "I will make you fish" is an action, while "I will turn you into fishers" is an ongoing development. "Make you fish" is doing. "Turning you into fishers" is becoming. One is a project, and the other is a process. I'm going to let that sink in. I tried to flip it a bunch of different ways there so you can see what's going on, because it's very nuanced, but extremely important. And why is it so important? Well, because you see, this difference helps us understand the identity of the disciples. And in Mark's gospel, we are encouraged to see ourselves as a disciple. Even though some of us sometimes like to imagine we're Jesus, we're actually encouraged to see ourselves as a disciple. So it's important for us to understand the role of the disciples to help us better understand our role as Christians. And I think this is where Christianity took the less biblical and easy road over the centuries. For decades, pastors and worshipers believed that Christianity was being. That is, if you went to church and gave an offering, you got your Christian credentials. Church leaders only seemed to judge a congregational effectiveness by butts in the pews and bills in the plates. But we, as religious leaders, were wrong. You see, Christianity is not task-oriented. It isn't about being, it's not about doing something, and it's not even an action. You see, to follow Christ means to imitate God's character. And in Mark, that means becoming a servant. It means learning to live without violence and pride. And it's an ongoing pursuit of prioritizing love and relationships above all else. Is that nuance making sense? Some of you aren't shaking your head, so I'm going to say no. So, yay, we get to do an activity. You're going to learn to say yes in the future. All right, so let's do a few examples. You're going to tell me if the example that I'm giving is an example of make you fish, you know, an action, doing a specific action, or turn you into fishers. So make or turn into, okay? You see what our two options are? All right. So, number one, bringing food for fellowship hour after church. Is that a make or a turn into? Make. Okay, so see, you guys are getting this, right? It's an action. Yeah, right? You're doing something, checking something off the box. Now, number two, learning how to better serve others by hosting fellowship hour, turn into, right? It's turning into because this is an action that has developmental reflection, resulting in transformation. It's not about the task, but it's about an ongoing journey of transformation. Do you see that nuance? Very slight, but very important. No? Yes? No? Okay, let's try one more then. All right. Giving a meal to someone who is hungry, make or turn into? Make, right? Sharing a meal together with someone who is hungry, make or turn into? Turn into. Why? There's a relational aspect. I heard relationship kind of shouted a few times, right? We're connecting, and the transformation becomes a two-way street instead of a one-way. I'm not giving, I'm not doing, but I'm participating, and I'm changing, I'm being transformed. And you see, that's really important because what we discover today and what we're going to see all the way through Mark is that being a disciple is not about checking something off your to-do list. Instead, it's about becoming a lifelong learner. Being a disciple means not only learning from the stories of our faith, but then also putting it into practice with the faithful people. Being a disciple is about studying and observing and noting the reality of the world and putting that into conversation with our faith. And I think far too often, our faith is behind us developmentally. While we work to better ourselves and finances, or while we go to the gym and work out, or while we look at our careers or even our relationships, our faith, on the other hand, is often stagnant. We prioritize our therapist, we absorb social media, we drink the daily news, and we drown in our careers. But do we give the same attention to the scriptures or to actively searching for God's presence? Do we take time for Christian meditation, which is what we call prayer? Do we let the Bible inform our political views, or is it the other way around? Sometimes I often wonder, are we actually following Jesus, or are we trying to convince Jesus to follow us? But friends, the good news is all is not lost. The disciples in Mark's gospel are a great example. You see, these disciples, these were 20-something-year-old people who were astounded by Jesus' teachings. They witnessed the healing of the sick, and along the way, they're going to lose Jesus. They're going to lose track of him, and they're going to have to seek him out yet again. You see, the good news, though, about all of that is that our God isn't waiting for us. Our God is different than John the Baptizer. Our God knows that left to our own devices, we'd be stuck mending our nets on the shore, all just absorbed in the day-to-day activity, and we'd forget the big picture of it all. And that is why God took on human form and takes on human form here and now. Our God comes to us, present in those gathered at this table of welcome. Our God is known at that font of empowerment. Our God is revealed in the scriptures of wisdom. And our God is glimpsed in the transforming group of people gathered here. These are the gifts of God coming to you. And so we come here to learn and to be challenged. But that's not it. For then we are sent. We are sent to emulate Jesus' actions. We are sent to become God's partner in this reign of love. We are sent to become Christ's disciple. Amen.